Alternative radio, community radio, pirate radio are engaged in different kinds of struggles in different places. Pirate Cat Radio in San Francisco is currently facing a $10,000 fine leveled against them by the FCC. I sat down and talked with Monkey, the founder of Pirate Cat, at the studio that doubles as a coffee shop in San Francisco's Mission District on the corner of 21st and Florida Street.
For the past 13 years, the FCC has really been, like, in our case, like, really nothing more than a paper tiger for most parts. By that, I mean, like, you know, the only thing the FCC will ever do is they would give us paperwork saying you guys have, you know, your 5 or 10 days to turn off your transmitter, stop broadcasting, or show legal evidence that, you know, gives you the right to do so. So, like, all right, fine. So, in that case, what we would do is every time we got one of those letters from the FCC is just move the transmitter to another location and keep, you know, doing the radio station. So, we played the whole cat and mouse game for a while. And then around 2002, 2003, I found this whole, you know, beautiful, what I call the wartime loophole. And, you know, I don't remember the federal code for the whole thing offhand, but that's what I was using for, I'd say, a good 6 to 7 years to keep us on the air. And basically what would happen is anytime we'd put the transmitter up in a location, whoever was hosting the transmitter would have to fill out this, like, you know, boilerplate informal application that's in this clause and send it to the FCC. And it basically states, this is where we're broadcasting from, this is how much power we're putting out, this is how we can be contacted, et cetera, et cetera, and this is our reason for utilizing this wartime act. So you're able to enact this anytime the Congress or the president declared war. So the cool thing is like, obviously the Constitution says only Congress can declare war. And this thing says, well, if the Congress or the President declares war, it's, you know, your civic duty to keep communications with each other by all means possible. It's like, fine. The President declared, you know, George Bush himself, he furthered the war on drugs, he had the war on terror, he had the war on poverty, the war on illiteracy. I mean, the list goes on. There's, like, not just the war on terror, but a slew of other, like, ridiculous wars that the President would declare all the time. So I would always cite all of those and send that off, like, here we go, we're broadcasting because of all these different wars that we're furthering. The rules of this whole thing is like, yeah, you have to provide a community service, you can't do underwriting or advertising of any kind. So I was like, all right, how can I create a station format for Pirate Cat that lets us continuously provide community content? So we put together a box of PSAs. All of our PSAs we read are for nonprofit organizations in the area. So we give, you know, these, like, quote-unquote free announcements for nonprofits. Then in addition to that, all the DJs are required to bring in a person to interview for every radio show that's of community interest. It's not about, like, the vanity thing of just playing music. You have this great privilege of being able to utilize the radio and get people to listen to something and give them information. Bring in the person to interview. And most people are able to accomplish that. We'd make it really strict, and it's like, if you can't get an interview and book it 2 weeks out, we'll book someone for you, because, you know, that's our community service. That's what we're here for, is to, like, inform people and bring people in that they can hear that they typically wouldn't know about or hear elsewhere. And that's what we did. So everyone's doing that regularly now. We got people coming in. Sometimes it's like a comedian, sometimes it's a band, sometimes it's somebody from City Hall or somebody running a nonprofit organization or somebody trying to form, like, you know, somebody from, like, Bicycle Coalition or whatever, somebody trying to form something new that will help the community. We'd bring them in and let them talk about what it is they're trying to do and try to get help via the radio to organize themselves.
What do you define as your community?
The Bay Area. I mean, it's kind of weird because when we, before we opened up this space here and had, like, the cafe and the public community thing, it was all just, like, what you heard. So whatever our broadcast range would reach is who we were serving. So that's, like, who we have to give content to and give access to the airwaves to. You know, if we're broadcasting out of San Francisco and you can hear us in Fremont, well, shit, not just San Francisco and Oakland, but get down into Fremont and get somebody up here, because people down there are listening too, and, you know, they need the same, they have the same rights to access the airwaves. 3 years ago now, I started thinking more about the whole community thing. I had the option of taking over the lease on the space our former studio was in over on Folsom Street. And it's like, wow, for the $1,200 I'm going to pay for this space here that's, like, totally hidden, closed away, and, like, you know, elusive, I could get a retail spot in the Mission and just make us completely blatant and put us in the public space. So I'm like, yeah, that would be brilliant. So I went and started looking around, found this place, negotiated a pretty good commercial lease, and opened this place up, and, you know, had like people help out and everything. And I think we spent like $3,000 to $4,000 to open this place and illegally build out the studio and everything without permits. But we opened it. And so now it's like this great community experiment where, one, there's not like one person financially supporting the station. It's the community supporting the station. So the FCC can't come, theoretically, shouldn't be able to come and fine one person for operating PyroCat, because everyone around here that comes in and buys a cup of coffee, they blatantly know they're supporting this pirate radio station right behind them as they're getting their coffee. So everyone's an accomplice. You can't like just go to one person. It's like the whole community is responsible for this station being here. And, you know, at the same time, it's been interesting because I had to get all of our on-air staff away from the concept of just like being alone in a booth with walls and a microphone in front of you. So now they've got this big window. You have to have interviews. You have to have something going on. You have to basically, like, when people come in, let them know that you're there and that you're not just like playing music or doing an interview, but you also want them to come in and talk about whatever it is they want to talk about. Anyway, the other way that we've been able to have the cafe here is that I personally, well, I have to say this, like, I have to, like, state this now. I don't operate transmitters illegally. Fans of PyroCat Radio operate transmitters illegally and rebroadcast our internet feed. So, you know, fans would go and put up a transmitter, use this wartime act, and basically, you know, just rebroadcast anything we had streaming over the web, and all that content comes from here. So, hey, that's cool. People are rebroadcasting us, and you can hear us all over the Bay Area. So in April of 2008, a commercial licensed radio station in New Mexico, known as AO Communications, I don't know what their actual license was, they utilized the Wartime Act improperly and started using it to rebroadcast their commercial radio station a few miles outside the broadcast range. And the FCC caught wind of it and was like, well, you can't do this. One, you're a commercial radio station, and, you know, whatever. So they took them to court, and this radio station had enough money to go to court with the FCC and battle over it. It took them a year, but in April 2009, they lost the case with the FCC, and the FCC set new precedent, which basically allowed them to rewrite the rule, saying that they have to issue the license instead. So you can't just go on the air with it and send them the thing saying, we're doing this. They have to actually accept it. So they were shut down, and basically, you know, that happened in April 2009. Then in August 2009, we got fined, or I personally was fined $10,000 for broadcasting without a license. It's kind of a funny thing because I haven't operated a transmitter or had a transmitter in, like, any residence that I've had in the past 6 years. How can you fine me for something that I've always complied with and stopped, and I'm not actually doing it, somebody else? So that's our whole battle with the FCC right now. So that's not going to be, you know, no decision's going to be made as to whether our fine is reduced or thrown out or whatever the case may be for 8 months to 2 years. So it's just this, like, limbo for a long time.
So basically you're waiting for them. I mean, is there a court case, or, like, you're just waiting for them to make a decision arbitrarily?
Really, so what happened is they gave me a notice of apparent liability saying that I'm liable $10,000 for broadcasting without a license. Michael Cousins, our attorney, wrote the response to them saying that, you know, Monkey is not liable for this because all he does is run, you know, an internet radio station out of this cafe in the Mission District that acts as a community radio station. If other people rebroadcast that, it's not his, he's not responsible for it. Which, yeah, totally. I'll take that. So that's basically our argument with the FCC at the moment. And it's funny because I guess between April and August of last year, the FCC actually had people come in, sit down, buy cups of coffee, take pictures, sit in vans across the street and watch things. And there's like a specific day in May that they cite in the NAL where they actually had a person sitting outside in a van watching me. And they're like, well, we observe Monkey Daniel Roberts operating an espresso machine and operating a board. Like, well, great. I don't think it's illegal to operate an espresso machine in the state of California or in the U.S. I don't know. I've never heard that it was illegal to do that. But that's what they've got me for. And since they've done that, you know, people have caught wind of our fine, and from Vancouver to the capital city of Honduras, I mean, literally there's like 8 different transmitters up right now along the West Coast rebroadcasting Pirate Cat. Other people are doing it, from Canada to, you know, different countries, all, you know, in different states even. They're rebroadcasting this. I have nothing to do with it. So, you know, we'll see what happens when, you know, they finally make their decision. I mean, we even have a woman who is talking about donating us an actual license for a radio station in the Bay Area. I've started doing some legwork on that already, and our attorney has started doing some legwork on it as well, and realized that there's this big Christian fundamentalist organization from Florida out here in the Bay Area that will, like, be the first ones to oppose this transfer to us. So we're kind of preparing for all that, which is proving to be a lot of fun. This is getting into a whole nother realm of FCC law that I never thought I would deal with, and it's proving to be even more interesting than running a pirate radio station. So we're waiting to see what happens with that, and we could be on the air with a license as soon as April. And, you know, some people would say that, well, aren't you guys kind of, like, selling out, or are you just, like, giving up by, you know, following the rules? I'm like, well, yeah, we're complying a little bit, but we always have been to some extent. I mean, we make sure we're not interfering with anyone, any other broadcasts around the Bay Area, whether that's radio or emergency or, you know, for aircraft. Plus, you know, we've been following this whole wartime loophole, which is, you know, there are rules set there. So interviews, PSAs, providing a community service, doing everything we should be doing, which people seem to respect and understand. So, yeah, we've already been following the rules. The only thing we can't do now is say fuck. And
I really like the issue of, like, sort of selling out or whatever, transforming Pirate Cat from a pirate radio station to a community radio station without a license or whatever. It's a really interesting question because I just sort of wonder, like, what you see the role of pirate radio being, first of all. And then the second part of the question would be, like, why do you think the FCC feels like it has to, or the government feels like it has to regulate the airwaves? You know what I mean? Like, what is it about pirate radio that poses a threat?
So, the concept is that the FCC was created to allow communities and areas to have radio stations. Whether those were community or commercial, it doesn't matter. They just were there to regulate the creation of radio stations, to make sure that they're not interfering with each other, and that they're all able to broadcast within their license areas, respectively. So, the FCC is, you know, they've done that, but it's gone to a further extent with them, where they've, you know, there are a lot of things in the Communications Act of 1934 that stipulates that, you know, they're supposed to, well, the content of radio stations should serve the areas they broadcast to. I think they've let a lot of things from the Communications Act of 1934 go to the wayside and don't really pay attention to it anymore. I mean, that's, I think, obviously shown when you have stations like Live 105 putting out 12,000 kilowatts of power. It's like, well, how is that beneficial to a community to have a radio station that covers this massive area and they just play music all the time? You're basically, like, kicking out all these other cities and communities from having their own unique personal community radio station because there's this massive giant on top of everyone. And at the same time, the FCC doesn't want to see those stations go away because now the airwaves have become something more than just a thing to regulate, but it's become real estate. So every time there's, like, a transfer of a major license, the FCC gets money. If they don't get money, there are various engineers that get money from having to go and do the surveys and process all the, you know, paperwork that's concerned for transferring licenses or even starting a license. Application fees really aren't, you know, the FCC's way of making money. It's always, like, third-party sources, other engineers that make money off of doing surveys and everything. There's, like, a whole economy there. Now there's you know, since 1997, there are new rules where basically radio stations have to declare how much money they've brought in. So let's say Live 105, for example. They have to declare how much ad revenue they bring in, and they have to report that to the FCC. The FCC just wants to see that they're continuously making money. If they stop making money, then they'll go and say, oh, we're going to take your license away because you're not making enough money with this thing. And it's totally absurd. It's like your whole focal point now is protect these people with licenses from people interfering with them, namely pirates, and make sure that licensed stations are all making money. And, you know, the reason why the FCC doesn't want pirates around is because, you know, their primary interest, and something that I think is necessary, is to regulate interference between other radio frequencies. Which is why I took such strenuous efforts in making sure that we weren't interfering with anything licensed in any form with PirateCat. And I think I should say as well that, like, it's horrible to hear about the things that are happening in Central America with pirate radio stations and the fact that they have to deal with, you know, being, like, shot and killed or, you know, being beaten because they have, you know, a radio station. And, like, you know, we don't have to deal with that here. And we're really lucky and privileged in the U.S. to not have to deal with, you know, this, like, supreme repression of the government to keep us off the air. I mean, here it's just, like, yeah, financial threats and the threat of, like, a little bit of jail time if you don't comply with that. But it's nothing like what people have to deal with elsewhere around the world. Like, we have it easy here. We have it really, really easy here.